but he's brought his A-game today, Sipoy. He's going to absolutely blitz them. Gay told us months ago, and Piero won it.
It's Vancouver with his head in front from English, and Vancouver, the favourite, roars away for Tommy Berry. Capitalists, the Magic Millions winners, drawn clear in the slipper, Yankee. It's Shewa right in front, the $20,000 filly's got the slipper won. And stay inside, Tommy Berry wins his third golden slipper. And a moose. Golden Getter coming through is Fireburn with a big run off the fence. And Fireburn charges home and gives Gary Portelli his second golden slipper. Fireburn beat this.
And now on PG Podcast Network, it's time for the year-round carnival with Vince Accardi and your host, Racetrack Rolfie.
G'day, thanks so much for getting our year-round carnival preview edition of Golden Slipper Day at Rose Hill, hearing some of those greats of yesteryear is always fantastic. Also going to have a bit of a look at the William Reid Stakes Mooney Valley with the big Group 1 sprint there, Imperatrice, V-Cylinder, V-Bella Nepotina. Vince Accardi from Daily Sexuals, good morning to you, my friend.
Good morning, Ralphie. What a great weekend coming up.
Oh, some fast horses. May as well start with the real fast ones at Mooney Valley, because it's the William Reid, the rematch for the Newmarket of the three horses I mentioned in Imperatrice, Cylinder, who knocked him off, and Bella Nepotina, who seems to just keep improving and runs at her best at Mooney Valley. Stablemate I Am Me is also in the market. We'll start off there and then we'll do that deep dive into Rose Hill. What a conundrum. You got nice short price Imperatrice. Do you expect her to bounce back to her Mooney Valley best, or is there any concerns for you, given that she's third up?
Well, the Mooney Valley, and you're the wide, well, you're the widest gate, realistically. Do you go forward or back, Rolfie?
Well, I think there's some speed.
Well, this is the big challenge, because what happens if Opie goes back?
That's right.
Yeah, it could be good night.
Well, yeah, that's on. You know, I've done this race for myself and I can't in a fit want to take such short odds, not because we don't know she's the best horse, but there's two reasons. One, as you said, the map, and two, is she definitely going to be bringing a Mooney Valley best? If she was, $1.30 would be a nice price, wouldn't it?
Well, it makes a lot of sense. There's got to be a level of confidence that her best is definitely still coming, but the reality is, I really wonder what Opie's going to do. If it goes back, then maybe $1.70 is a very bad position for the people that want to play with this horse. But if they go forward, then maybe the $1.70 could be a good price. It's just going to be, it's a big challenge. Really, we do have a repeat. It is race, you know, race in two again. We've got one drawn barrier one, which is also lethally bad, right?
Could it be is. The coffin.
Yeah. It's another very dangerous spot to be in. So what's Bo Mertens going to do?
Well, I think he tries to hold the fence, but maybe there's some faster horses earlier than him. Well, and he ends up three back the fence.
Yeah, so that's another really big challenge. So this is all about one thing. It's the tactics. Whoever gets the tactics right wins. Imperatrice, if I was the rider, I'm not, of course, right? My strategy is you've got to go forward at all costs, because I believe if you go back, you may not be able to win because of the track bias. That's the only reason. If we were confident there wasn't going to be a track bias, because you have to understand Mooney Valley, lane 3, 4, 5, that's all there is.
Yep.
On pace is where you want to be. And lane one can be very, very bad, one and two, very bad. So Cylinder drawn the fence. You're not going to be just staying on the fence hoping for a split, because if you get a split, where are you going? you're going to stay on the fence.
Yes.
Unless you can get out. So that's a real – I actually feel the cylinder's going to go back as well.
Well, this is my thing. So you can't possibly rule out Bella Nipotina, can you? Just from a pure position and running basis, she brings her best at Moonee Valley. She's third up. And, yeah, is she as good as the other two? No. But how often do we see Vince at Moonee Valley? Position and running can win you a race.
It really can. It can win you a race. The question is, well, Bella Nipotina, 2.5 lengths above benchmark first up after, off 98 days and then 2 lengths above last start. Now, we ask the question, if we're just looking on very recent type profile, the horse is like in the strike range. And, of course, if those, this is both Cylinder and Imperatrix, if they were, you know, A, if Cylinder can make another step, because why can't it? Why can't it go to the next level? I don't believe whatever happens tomorrow is that the end of Cylinder. I mean, if Cylinder's a genuine 4 to possibly +5 range, do you believe that that's going to cost them 2 lengths? If you do, you could be right, Ralphie. It's all about Bella Nipotina then, right? Because that's got the golden scenario, drawn 3. You are, well, you need to go forward as well.
Well, this is what I'm saying, that stablemate IME, who's in the market, but she's fast. She, there's every chance that Johnny Ellen ends up 1-1, which with other fast horses there or right behind the leader, at least she gets first crack at it. But yeah, it's a fascinating race. And but I'm sure with the way you look at your betting, there probably isn't an opportunity for you, is it?
It's going to the playing field, keep marbles in the bag.
Well, all right. So if there's anything further to discuss, we will tomorrow when it's all business. But yep, it sounds like let's dive deep into Rose Hill. Rail out 2 metres. Vince, can we believe it? It's a big group one in Sydney at this time of year in the autumn. We might get a good track.
Well, it's come up here 6, right? And there's rain coming on Saturday. And there's rain on Saturday. What are you going to do?
Is Wire predicting rain, is it?
Yep. And the rain from YR,
yep.
Because I just had a look only 10 minutes ago, Ralphie, and no, I go, can't be, can it? But guess when the rain is planned to come? Somewhere between 11 o'clock till 2 o'clock continuously, but it might just be a drizzle, Ralphie. And then by the time we wake up tomorrow morning, it could fizzle into thin air and there'll be nothing. We need that, right? So then the only problem will be is how can it still be a slow 6?
It's got me beat. I saw the track manager report on Racing New South Wales tweeted out yesterday. So we thought, oh, beauty, drying week. And but no, S6. And so the rail goes from true, where no one went near it last week, to out 2. What's the potential if, let's say, if we happen to get a good track, is there a chance that there's a strip? And it's pretty narrow because you always say it's 1 to 6 and then there's a bit of no man's land at Rose Hill.
This is seriously will be either way, it's going to be a dominant position for the front riders. Riders up front are going to be in a sensational place with huge advantages, particularly, well, if rain comes, that just slows the pace.
Yes.
And makes it even harder for any of the back markers. You're right, Ralph, because you've got 3 or 4 lanes to work with. That's it. So it is a narrow corridor, and then you have to get out a lot wider. Now, there were horses getting out very, very deep at Rose Hill, and perhaps
manifest.
Yep. That's one prime example that there is that possibility just with the way the track is. Maybe they've got some challenges with the track condition itself. And they might be all fanning very wide. They might come round the turn 4 or 5 off the fence and all those leaders in no man's land. So it's going to be interesting, Ralphie. I hope they don't put any more water. I was just looking at the ATC site before as well, and they've said, 28 mils in the last 7 days is what's happened to the track. I'll be curious to see at 9 o'clock this morning and through the course of today, are they going to put any water on it?
You would hope not.
Nah, well, they should sack them all if they do.
Fair enough. All right, let's start with the big one, the Golden Slipper. Yep. And can I sum it up this way and then see how you're going to pull it apart? Is it a case that Storm Boy put up his hand in the Magic Millions and said, I'm a really serious 2-year-old player. Let's see who else emerges over the next 2 months. on the clock. Has anything emerged?
No. No. That's the... Well, I say no, but I look at it like this. How many horses right now are above benchmark?
Yep.
There's a small group. We've got Storm Boy, Lady of Camelot, Hey Osagi, Bodyguard. They're all franked above benchmark. And then there's Switzerland, who is still looming to potentially produce a PB, but he's below benchmark. Every other horse, they are dead set pretenders, right? Unfortunately, yep. And would need some catastrophic things to happen for one of those horses to win. Now, there can be surprises in Gold Slippers, and I've been looking to see if there is a possibility. You know, could a Coleman just do something? Could Espionage just do something? There's so much talk about it. But the reality is he's really confident that anything behind Switzerland Last Start can't beat it. Now, you can make a little case about Bodyguard, the little, you know, that little bit of an extension that the horse may have just needed that run to round it off with the time off. So I could potentially give a little bit of leniency there for that horse. After that, it's going to be Lady Camelot going forward.
Yep.
Along with Straight Charge, who has to be a challenge because they're going to run, Ralphie. They're not going to walk here. They're just going to let go and they're going to rip like we've seen so many times before. I'm saying there's going to be maybe some rain according to Wire, but it isn't going to be a catastrophic day where it rains all day. So they're going to roll and they're going to run fast. So this is going to be, okay, out of those on-pace horses, the only one that's still going to be there is Lady Camelot. And then we're going to look at the Storm Boy. We'll just stalk him.
Yeah.
What else is Ryan Moore going to do? I can't believe the barrier he's drawn too.
It's perfect.
He's just, all he's got to do is just go forward and sit behind the lead pace. Yeah, he might have the cover. You know, they might cover him up and all that. But when you turn for home, you're guaranteed to get a lane. You are guaranteed to get a lane. You couldn't have had a better scenario than that. So this runner, on every position on the chessboard, appears to extend its winning chances, just extend it. Now, Ryan Moore, do you really think he could get that wrong?
He goes all right.
Yeah, what do you think, Ralph? Do you think there's a possibility he just, you know, might forget? You know, to jump out cleanly? I doubt it, right? I mean, do you
think he's come over here for a reason?
Yeah, it really, Ralphie, on all normal things, he looks unbeatable. Now, I've had communication with a number of people. There are sinister thoughts, right, because of the money at play and all these sort of things, and if they win, how much bonuses will the owners get? Is that a smart business move, bad business move? Now, of course, I don't know what it's going to be, $20, $30 million extra. Do you know how much money they're getting extra if they win?
I don't. I haven't read deep into it, but no, it'd be a fair fill-up.
But it'll be a big bonus, right? Yeah, like it's a monstrous bonus. And I'm not into breeding. I don't know how much you get a serve and all these things. If I was the owner, what would I want to do? Well, obviously, I believe you want to go out there and win the Golden Slipper because it make your horse worth a fortune, right?
100%, yeah.
You know, could this horse be worth $100 million if it wins it? Well, I don't know if any horse is worth that, is it? Or are there horses that are worth that?
I try and take the noise away. So the overview with this race, Vince, is because it says Storm Boy from Switzerland. There's only been two really fast two-year-old races so far this spring, crop, the yep. Magic Millions and the Blue Diamond. They've been the real two fast races. There hasn't been genuinely speed races in Sydney. Now, a lot of it, as we've often discussed on the Monday, is we've had these two speed tracks where the first part of the back straight, if you like, at Rosehill and Randwick has definitely played slower, be it wind or the hoses. But they're really fast races. So Storm Boy led throughout. Adam Hieronymus chose to lead and did it, and it was a correct move in the Magic Millions. As you said, there's going to be enormous pace here, which gives Ryan Moore the opportunity to settle. Lady of Camelot that we discussed on the Monday was just busted open on an insane speed in the Blue Diamond and did really well to hang on for second. So a couple of things from that. What did she show you in her trial since? Blake Shinn absolutely on fire. He'll go forward and he won't die wondering.
Well, everything sort of spells well for that, and I feel it's probably a really – it was good that they did the trial, the realities.
With Blake on. That's the interesting thing to me.
Yeah, and to be guaranteed, I mean, it is a nice break between runs. So what's the real motive? Is it just to keep it on point? The freshness and the speed. This horse has got speed. It's just one of these horses, Ralph. It's got a lot of speed, and 1,200's golden. Can they get it any fitter? No way. There's no way they can get this horse any fitter. It's just now, can they manage that pace up front? Because really that's the only hurdle the horse faces, is managing that speed up front. And Blake Shinn, he is brilliant up front as well, Ralphie. Like, I haven't seen him make an error when he's in a position where he has to go forward and lead. That means, and I mean, that's judgment of pace we're talking. If the speed is too fast, he won't get suckered into it. It's just not going to, right? So he is a fantastic rider from that perspective. And he's also drawn sensational. He'll have the ability to just roll at his own pace and put himself in the forward spot. And I suspect he's either just going to – I don't know whether he's going to want to take straight charge on, but Tim Clark, he can make the errors up front. If he feels there's going to be no pressure, he could use a tactic of slowing, and we know what happens, right? Because he'll be looking around him. So, I mean, he must be assuming that Lady Camelot's going to come after it. If he wants to take a sit behind Lady of Camelot, then he's gone. He really doesn't have any options, in my view. Tim Clark's best option is to roll forward and run. I don't see him doing anything else, although he is a rider that likes to think about it. And when he thinks about it up front, these tactics could come into play. It depends who else wants to come out, because, you know, Holmes Accord, fully fit, Shangri-La Express has got really good pace. Yeah, they're probably going to go forward. But other than Lady of Camelot, that's really the only nemesis that it has, from a serious speed point of view. And he's going to make a call. And I just believe that Shinn isn't going to be silly and say, we're going to have a dogfight up front and we're going to, you know, take each other on so we ruin both their chances. So I just feel that Blake is just going to sit on it. Yeah, up front, of course.
Tiny thing outside the data that you bring, Vince, I've just looked it up. I cannot find a ride where Blake has ridden 54.5. And when he's ridden at 55.5, he's been half over. He's riding at 54.5, and he rode this horse in a trial on the 11th. That tells you supreme confidence in this. He must be absolutely killing himself to ride this horse.
Well, he might be desperate to win a Golden Slipper.
Of course he is. No, but I mean that's a real good sign. Maybe he rode in the trial on the proviso that he just wanted to make sure he was happy with his horse. So there's a bit of confidence there. Now Switzerland. What is it on the clock compared to the respect for Chris Waller into a grand final? That's probably the best way to ask it.
Well, it is. That's fantastic, Ralphie. Well, firstly, I mean, the horse isn't that far behind, right, in terms of how it's trending. At the moment, we're rock solid. Around minus 1.1 is where we sit. The race matrix, interestingly enough, is only indicating the horse to be around half below. So that I find really interesting, that I haven't seen any real big breakaway. But I compare it to the first race start. That's probably my insight for me, is that on the adjusted IVR figures, the horse has improved about half a length. Then I look at the situations and the type of races it's been in. It's really only done what it needs to do to win. The first race start, there's no real guide. They didn't go that fast. They slowed in the mid-race. There wasn't any serious finish. And I felt that the horse's best work was over the very last 200 metres where it actually broke benchmark. And then last start, when I look at it, I just thought it was a good tempo. There was a nice move between the 8 and the 400. Again, the horse had a slowing process all the way from around the 600-metre mark to the 200-metre mark, Ralphie. And that's where I believe this horse's upside's going to come. Because when I add that all up on the mathematics, it does indicate there could be two lengths of improvement off that run, Ralphie, because there's no way that horse had an energy-efficient run. With James, I don't believe he's one that's going to be looking to play around. He's going to find his position, and this horse is going to give everything, and this horse will get every chance unless it ends up in the unfortunate dead lanes. If that happens, that's probably the only reason why this horse won't run plus one or two tomorrow.
So in summary, Vince, you're saying it's a big field, it's a thin race.
Well, unfortunately, how can the market be wrong? It looks like Switzerland versus Storm Boy.
Yep. Okay. We won't spend too much more time. Tomorrow we talk business. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the next race in race order, to the Galaxy in race 9. What a beauty. What a fantastic sprint this is, Vince. You've got the spreader of weights, which is going to keep a lot of people very, very interested on different levels. The favourite for the race is Osmosis, the three-year-old who won up the straight at Coolmore, and some other promising horses like Af Cabin, King's Gambit that we'll get to, Sunshine in Paris, who's got a dynamic first-up record, and some of the older horses who are just rippers, like Uncommon James Oakley Plate winner and Private Eye, who... Joe Pride elected not to run in the Newmarket, got beaten, but over a little bit further and with some speed in his legs. Firstly, how are you seeing the pace in this race?
Well, the pace is going to be solid, Ralphie. It has to be. Front page, passive aggressive, most likely to go forward. Osmosis, Asphora, Uncommon James, maybe Uncommon James to a lesser extent, particularly with Damien Lane on board. But, you know, Asphora, interesting. Timmy Clark, right?
Yep.
And Rachel King on Osmosis. Definitely Osmosis is going to be, out of that trio, 100% going to be wanting to test the front with the other two. Whether it takes the sit or tests them, that'll be interesting to see what happens, because when you're drawn where you are, I feel that Osmosis has got no choice at all, none. Because if they don't go press forward, they're going to be in trouble. And I don't even know if the horse is good enough. No matter what, I don't even know if the horse is good enough. So it's going to be a real test to see if this horse can get through this race and win it.
Yep.
And what does Rachel do? Even when I look at Rachel's current profile and how she's performing, I feel she's a little bit off her game at the moment. She's can be an excellent judge of pace, but it's not going to be her place to be tomorrow about the judgment of pace, because there's a couple of others that are going to want to own that front. But this horse hopefully will get a sit, so it'll give everybody their chance if they're going to be on it. So that's how I see that scenario for Osmosis. Uncommon James, well, we're going to look at this, Ralphie. What are we going to do with the track condition? If we're drawing, and this is the approach we should be taking, that we're hopefully going to wake up tomorrow morning or later this morning, and they're going to say, okay, it's now an S5, which is great. That means we should be at a G4 tomorrow morning, right?
Yep.
And if the rain doesn't come, like we've seen last week, we should have a day of improving track speed. So I'm taking that position, Ralphie, right? Because if I don't take that position, oh, my goodness, it's so painful, because what do you do?
So Osmosis won the Coolmore. He's got the big group one. That's mm-hmm. where he's got the big boom on him.
Yep.
So dual question here. How fast did he go in the Coolmore, and what's your expectation of a winning performance tomorrow as far as what you need to clear that hurdle?
Okay. So from that perspective, what we're looking at is the indicators are we're at around three and a half lengths above benchmark to be competitive. That's where we need to be. And when I look at just current form and where horses are, it's just so weird. There's just a cluster of horses that are on or around that number, which is good. Osmosis, though, has to go to a new PB. There's no question, even on the race matrix, on that performance last start at Flemington over 1,200 metres, where it did come up plus three on the race matrix. This horse's trend on adjusted IVR figures is somewhere bang in the low twos range. With a fast pace, That's going to be very interesting to see what happens with this horse and how it's going to cope. Now, I know that run at Gosford in a maiden race, there was speed. There was a heavy slowdown in the mid-race when it won its first race start, and probably unfair. And the horse did, in my view, have excellent rebound and was able to re-accelerate in a very tenacious manner, which sort of does give you this indication this horse has got a lot more to give. Now, it's never really had that opportunity ever since. And even when I look at the races that it's run in, there hasn't been hot speed, Rolfie, in any of the races. So this will be its first taste of a lot more pressure, but I don't believe that's going to be a challenge for the horse personally. It's just going to be all about where you slot in and if you can be in that forward position, which is going to be a big, big, big plus, and just got to get one of those lanes, which you're going to do if you time your run right through the first 500 or 600 metres.
So the interesting thing with the Cormore is Shinzo and Cylinder were the favourites. Cylinder had had enough.
Yep.
Completely spent after the Everest. Shinzo, synthetic hoof filler first time. He wasn't right on the day. So what I'm saying to you is that because you've scored it at 2.3, it was a good solid performance. This wasn't a blistering Group 1 win.
No,
it was a good day, from it. But that's it.
Yeah, and I am a little bit surprised that it's – I know it's open market in the sense that, what is it, $4 or $5
yep.
every runner. So I get it, right? That's probably – it's nice to see. And they haven't done something ridiculous like make it $2, right? Because I don't even feel the horse should be buying for favoritism, right? But this is what we've got. We've got a horse that's hard in the market and drawn challenging in the sense that there's only one option – that you will have to go forward, and then are you going to be good enough to take that next step?
Well, we're talking about him, because this is – I'm scratching my head here. The start prior to winning the Cormore, a horse called King's Gambit smashed him.
Right.
And you're talking about your bar 3.4. Well, he ran 3.5 that day at Rose Hill.
Yep.
And the thing is, and we discussed this on the Monday after the Oakley Plate, where he was a bit disappointing, he was a bit plain. Peter Snowden couldn't have been more unconcerned. Like it was just a blowout first up run. Well, when he was fantastic at Rose Hill in that race where he smashed Osmosis, he was second up off a plane first up run.
Yeah.
He's got the same pattern here, Vince.
Yeah. He has the same pattern, but a different distance.
Yes. With so a Barry trial in between, which is a Snowden special for a Group 1.
Yeah. So everything looks really, really good for that particular horse, King's Gambit, Ralphie. I know I couldn't believe it when Snowden said after the race, oh, he's going to have plenty of improvement now. He didn't have much choice last start, did it?
Really? Yeah.
And we know this horse is very explosive. It's got phenomenal capability. Jamie Carr, how well does she know Rose Hill? Is she going to get caught in the wrong lane? That's probably the only negative I see. This is, again, as sad as it is, tactics are going to play a huge role here, but it is on a horse that's absolutely capable of winning. Has a rock solid, as you said, Rolfie, 3.5 above IVR benchmark. That qualifies you for this race. I don't believe we have seen the best of this horse, because when it won that race at Rose Hill, Rolfie, I mean, look at the pace. It was 7.1 lengths below benchmark first section. That's what King's Gambit travelled at. Then you have a look at what it did in the mid-race. Huge mid-race move, a 10.6 length squeeze. Now, you are entitled to do that off that ratio, but you're not entitled to then go 9.5 above benchmark last 400. No way.
That's a class sprint, isn't it?
Well, that's a Winx sprint. That's a Black Caviar devastation last 400, because that's an elite group of horses that can have that unbelievable pace. Now, of course, the slower the speed, more horses. But usually when they do that, these horses that can run like 8 to 10 lengths above last 400 metres, they have a soft first section. They have a reasonably smooth mid-race. They don't have an explosion in the mid-race. They might only increase their pace by 1 second or 6 lengths, and then there's this massive explosion. But this horse is like on the edge of what a peak move is in the mid-race. 10.6 is about a length and a half before you start to lose your rhythm, your balance, your stride length. This horse was just like explosive. Like, it had the audacity just over the last 200 metres to run plus 5.5. And then I look at it, right? You can see that day, it was pretty much lanes 1 and 2 all the way through.
Yeah.
So there you go.
All right. Well, he's $13. That's not a bad explanation for him. Let's talk about a couple of the old boys. I say that in absolute respect. And I'm talking about Private Eye and Uncommon James. Private Eye, fantastic first up. Last up, well, Nash's term was the wheels were spinning. Your term was he lost his speed out of his leg second up. He's not a 1,000-meter horse. So is he dangerous here?
Well, he has to be. He's very limited in terms of the opportunities, like a number of horses are in this race for 1,100. There is this scenario. It is that borderline specialist distance. It's not as specialised as the 1,000, though, which does help a lot of horses. So the injection of the pace you need to have in your legs in terms of freshness is very, very different. And in this case here, the 1,100, of course, is the absolute minimum this horse needs, and it gets that. You look at what it did at 1,100 metres back at Randwick in September of last year. There it is, 3.1 lengths above. Race Matrix is clearly saying 3.8 above. It's not its best. 1,200 metres, the horse is probably another 2 lengths better. So that's one little caveat that you have to consider. And the other caveat you've got to consider is, I would be surprised if Nash doesn't get really wide. I just got this feeling. A lot of people are going to go very wide tomorrow. Like very wide. I just see this happening, especially with these bigger fields. They're going to have the opportunity to get the cart into the race, and they're going to be automatically, hopefully, in lanes 12 or wider. And if they're in those lanes, then these horses allow themselves back into the game. Or there might be those horses that can cut the corner.
Yep.
Because they fan and they get split on the inside, like Cassidy used to do years and years ago.
He was the best, wasn't he?
Yeah, that could happen as well. Yeah. So either way, they're winning moves. Nash has got to do one or the other.
Yep.
He's a master that's capable of doing that. I feel that he's – I hope he just rides his race and he doesn't – well, I feel with Private Eye, he can't play the games. And what I mean by the games, not in a negative way, like I'm going to follow you, I'm going to follow you. He's going to have to create his own plan, and that's when he's at his best, when he dictates his terms on what he wants to do. And hopefully that's what he does, and hopefully he considers both scenarios. Okay, it's going to be a fast pace, or I want to stay to the inside, or no, I'm not going to take any risks. I'm going to be out the back. And when we get to the 600 metres, I'm not going to be weaving in between runs. I'm going to take the wide pattern because there's going to be a wall of horses that he can just trend in behind and peel off their backs. Doesn't have to look for splits. Yep. And has one crack at them like Cafe Millennium did, right?
Yep.
Just do that. If he does that, he can win. He's the best horse in the race.
So Uncommon James... I like doing the work and then seeing if there's anything I can add to it as far as from the news cycle. So I'm looking at this bloke and I thought, well, I cheered him home in the Oakley Plate, so there's the specialist distance tick. And he was second up because he was set for the Oakley Plate second up. Last prep, I'm thinking, I wonder if that monster run behind Imperatrice flattened him for the next 2 runs. Mm-hmm. Then what's the stable said? Well, I've got a quote here from the co-trainer Hoisted. Without knowing the final field, we want to see him up to these horses like Osmosis and Private Eye. By no means can he not win. He's going as good as ever. We want to see him being really explosive. In other words, trainer's intent, he's coming to play, I think, first up.
Well, it's really interesting that, right? Because if we look at the Moonee Valley run first up, off a slightly longer break, it was pretty explosive. So if we see that horse, wow. It really is a wow.
So the market will look at this being beaten 2.3 lengths, but how fast was that race, Vince?
It was so fast, Ralphie. Firstly, when you look at the performance of the race, Uncommon James, 4.4 above. Now, the Race Matrix did score it a lot worse. It only came in around +2, saying the signal wasn't as strong as what was put down on the day. But what you can't deny is this. On the raw figures, it was +11. Track had plenty of speed, and they really delivered. And this horse's last 800 metres was a combined +11.6 off a 0.6 below benchmark first section. That's big, Ralphie, right? That's big. Shows you the capability of the horse, and on that, you would say, oh, well, if it was 1,100 metres, wow. You know what I mean? It showed unbelievable sustained speed for a sprint race. And that's probably the ingredient you need for 1,100 metres. So the bottom line is this. It then had its last start at Moonee Valley over 1,200, and that day it ran 2.3 above, and the race matrix scored it higher. So this horse is in the mix. It's very capable of winning this, has the perfect rider for the way this horse needs to be handled. I mean, Damien Lane couldn't have chosen a better horse. Now the question is, if Private Eye brought its best and Uncommon James brought its best, then Private Eye will win, Ralphie. It will beat it. There's no question. And if Nash gets in the lanes out wide, which I hope he does, right, then victory is still going to be his. Because Uncommon James with Damien Lane, I don't believe he has that option. I believe that he's going to have to take one of those narrow lanes.
Yep.
But he's smart enough to do that. He's that good. He can just do that. And he does have the horse that can position off that, you know, sort of power pack and should be guaranteed a spot in the lanes.
So you've mentioned three others. We'll just get to one of them because the others are Bonus Notches and Asphora. They come off poor runs, but their best is good enough, is what you're saying, in that sort of hurdle that you need. Where does Sunshine in Paris fit in? She's a lightly raced horse. She was explosive first up last prep at this track. You can't help thinking this is a target for her to come to play.
Well, this is another horse that's, in my view, shows all the hallmarks of being more lethal than King's Gambit. So that this is a very, very dangerous horse. And even though I've been observing Annabelle Neesham and her training tactics in terms of how she prepares horses and where she likes them to be, I feel she's getting, you know, seriously dynamic in terms of having horses that don't need to be super ready first up and just keep finding improvements, and still where she feels that she's got a serious target first up, they're going to turn up and be like as close to 100% as possible. And Sunshine in Paris gives me that feel, Ralphie, that this horse is going to be here, you know, almost in peak condition for this race, which is, you know, sensational. This horse, we've got no idea where it's going to end still. I have no ceiling. I do feel this is a horse that's got a +3 to +5 range in its locker. 100% it's got that capability. We talked about King's Gambit, how dynamic that was off a -7.6 first section with a booming last 400. What about this horse going four lengths faster through the first section and actually had a superior last 400 with a 9.8? So no illusions. This is a lethal racehorse, and you couldn't have scripted any better. Where would you like to start first up? Oh, if you could have 1,100, that's gold.
And if the track is playing, as can be the case, and as we've touched on, you know, the on-pacers get the chance, I suppose. She stalks Uncommon James, who stalks a leader. So three-back defence might be perfect for her, given they'll spread in the straight.
Absolutely. And me, on a personal level, I'd be backing Sunshine in Paris before I backed Uncommon James. This is myself on a personal level. Yep.
Okay, there's the inside there. Let's just touch on race 10 and then we'll flip back to the top.
Yep.
Alindia is most advantaged from Tashi Tintuki. It was a lovely looking run, Alindia, first up. It was hard defence, and that day probably not getting the lane advantages. How are you expecting her to progress?
Well, this is another horse that I guess, like a number of runners, got plenty of capability. I felt that first up run was fantastic. Mm. Half a length above benchmark. Impossible race shape. Ralphie, 10.4 lengths below benchmark first section. What are you going to do with that? Had a huge extension in the mid-race. We talk about this mid-race move. We're talking about serious overreaching. 16.5 lengths mid-race squeeze. On sprinting races, that's excessive, Ralphie. Like, that's a huge overextension, and there's no way you could have the perfect rhythm balance, and your cardio system, right, would be just all depletion. And this is what happened. Then the horse deteriorated gradually over the last 400 meters, and it lost like almost 4.5 lengths of velocity, and that's because of the huge extension. What does that do? Well, 35 days. Too good, Wallop. Too good. That's a master stroke move, right? In terms of high powered performance, this horse, we are definitely, hopefully, going to see something like firstly, a new PB. I actually believe this horse is going to smash the 1.1 current PB that it has. I just see that happening, Ralphie. Could the lanes beat it? Well, I don't know about that part, but J-Mac knows the track very well. He'd be pretty excited, and he's going to have a horse that's going to be ready to go to battle, whether there's fast pace or not. And I do feel this is going to be a race of pressure. And this is where the starting point is. They all have to beat this horse first.
Lovely. All right, let's get to the other group ones that we haven't yet touched on, and we'll go in race order. The Randwick Race 5 on the program here. Here's a nice challenge for you, Vince, and I'm sure this is why part of the reason why our customers have bought our service. A couple of internationals, Via Sistina, and, do we go with Place to Carol? I don't know. Or Carousel, I mean Place to Carousel. Let's just start, though, with Think It Over. What do you expect him to bring, and how does he line up with the internationals?
Yeah, well, firstly, with the internationals, when we look at Via Sistina, it's a genuine plus 1.5 horse. And Palace de Carousel, is that right?
We'll go with that.
Palace du Carousel. I don't know, Ralphie. I'm not very good at that. I feel embarrassed. But the reality is with that horse there, it's a rock solid plus 1 to plus 1.5 range. At the moment, I've pinned it at 1.3. Very little between those two horses. Now that's, I've just scored Think It Over 2.5 above for this race, right? I feel that it has this field covered. The question is this: how slow will they go? That's going to help the overseas horses a lot. It's going to definitely help them a lot, the no speed race. If this was a bigger field, say, don't worry about the overseas horses in this race, right?
Yep.
But they do keep themselves there only for that reason, hence the reason why I've got them second and third on the grid, Ralphie, in terms of their chances. But it's all about, again, Nash. He's probably the only horse that stands in his own way of winning or losing because he can get to control everything. He can control the whole race from A to Z. He's got to be the one they all have to beat. Doesn't matter how you look at it. And the overseas horses are not better than it. They are absolutely not better than it.
What have we seen from Buckaroo? It's deep in the market there. It's had a little hit out since its last run, first up, and ran second, did what it was asked in that Warwick Farm trial.
Well, I do feel that Buckaroo is better than the other two in terms of overseas profiles.
Okay.
And we've seen his performances here in Australia, right? Even though they're only around the benchmark, the 0.3 range, but that run at Flemington on the 11th of the 11th, the race matrix has clearly shown that it's about a plus 1.8 horse. And I feel that's about right. And I just look at the way the shape of that race was. That didn't work for that horse that day. This horse likes this type of tempo where there's no speed or relaxed, doing not a lot of work, and then have the explosion. And Ryan Moore will probably bring the very best out of the horse under that scenario.
This screams trainer's intent too, because you're looking at it, it's a fast net rock horse, it's a stallion, and as you said, so it showed something in that McKinnon.
Yep.
In Blinker's first time, Blinker's mm-hmm. stay on. Good run behind the stablemate Fangirl. Barrier trial, it's coming to play.
Yes, and see, that run of 1,400 metres, you sort of, I guess, like from a form student point of view, and I sort of work through like my history as well. Years ago, I'd always say, you need to have that one run up close to the distance before you're absolutely ready. But we've seen over the years, and you used to articulate this a lot when we used to go to Crown Ralph for every year, and you would showcase about those the merit of the big mid-race squeeze. And it was always Mr. Waller, right? And here's the thing. That's what I love. 7.6 lengths below benchmark. Excellent move in the mid-race. It was a 10.5 length mid-race squeeze for 1,400. It's not an overextension, but it's a big condition builder, which allows you to be ready for 2,000 metres. And you're now in a race where there's no pressure. So what you're going to be looking for is probably a dynamic 800 metres maybe, 1,000 at most, and the horse is going to be ready for that.
So just to back the truck over my point, what I'm saying is the prize money is a million, but if this horse can win a Group 1 with this breeding, it's worth many, many millions to this horse.
Yeah, well, they've got the right scenario. And
Ryan Moore. Yeah,
Nash stands in your way. That's it.
There you go. Okay, Rosehill Guineas, Riff Rocket, the tight favourite from Tom Kitten right in the race. Or Tom Kitten at 2,000. I've said to you for all this campaign, Vince, I think this is its target. So it'll be fascinating how you're pulling this race apart. Again, you got Nash on the Riff Rocket, but you got Nash off Tom Kitten because Huey's in town. So there's a few chess moves there. Cafe Millennium was terrific. He's a horse who showed staying potential as a young horse. Put together last up with a really good run that ran with Guineas. Others in the market are King Colorado and Immediacy.
Wonder how long ago Hugh Bowman was booked for that ride on Tom Kitten.
Or was it straight after he was unlucky?
I don't know, right? But the reality is this. Goodness me. Sometimes you have to be brave, right? And we will discuss this tomorrow morning. But I'm going to bring the first bit of rudeness to the race. I feel it's a two-horse race, and it's just Cafe Millennium or Tom Kitten, and I'm going to be steadfast in that thought. I don't believe Riff Rocket's up to him. I've seen this horse at 2,000 metres. It has capability. I'm not knocking the horse. Could it test these? Yes, it can test them. If we have a ride like what Nash did last start on Tom Kitten. Yeah, for sure. For sure, 100%. And Cafe Millennium, oh, that was a phenomenal. Now, it was in the lanes. It got advantages. But they know what they have to do, right? They know exactly what they have to do, and they're capable of doing exactly the same. And that was a serious performance. So Hugh Bowman, if he watches the Nash tape and says, well, that's how I'm going to ride the horse, then... Yeah, well,
what did he do in that spring champion, just to underline it, in his win last spring at 2,000?
Well, here we go. Firstly, 6.8 lengths above benchmark first section. Massive slowdown in the mid-race of 6.8 lengths, right? And then produced one length above benchmark to win. It was the best performance of the day, Ralphie. Now, it was a plus 3.1. The race matrix has come in and scored it around plus 2. That's fine. I said to myself, well, that's what you need to win anyway. You need about plus 1 to be on the podium here. So I'm very, very comfortable, and I look at the fact that there was a heavy slowdown in the mid-race. You can look at it in a lot of different ways. Is that a positive or a negative? My view is I always feel that when you don't use the energy efficiency correctly, there's more to come. I did go away from that race that day saying, you're a Cox Plate horse. You could be the new superstar at the staying realms. Now, we haven't seen it, but goodness me, Ralphie. I don't know. I had to take myself back to the greyhound world about sometimes what trainers do with greyhounds, about, you know, how they've got to find a way to get beaten. Under different strategies, right?
Yeah.
And this could be, you know, like, I'll follow this rider, or I'm not ready yet. We're just conditioning, building. Does it not give you the signal? I've had this inkling all the way through, right? But it's hard not to want to have some money on it last start. And I am definitely not one that likes to follow up with my money. It's just every race on its own merit. I've had enough practice. So I understand I don't get myself caught there, but boy, oh boy, do I want to be on this horse tomorrow.
There we are. And by the way, Cafe Millennium, $17. So I know you don't look at the markets, you look at the clock, and there's some inviting price there, but you're on Tom Kitten.
What price is it at the moment, Tom Kitten, Ralphie?
Mid threes.
Okay, so they're still rude, aren't they? The bookmakers are rude, aren't they?
Probably says they'll give you $1.60, $1.70 the place.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah, I'm not going to say no.
George Ryder. Well, normally the George Ryder's a small field because there's, you know, a dominant horse at the time, like a Winx or an Animo, but we've got a terrific field here. The bit of noise, though, and we're not sure if it's signal yet, so, of course, we'll update everything tomorrow, is with Think About It. He's got a slightly elevated white blood cell on Thursday morning, so that'll come through the today, and he's either running or he's not. But so in the meantime, though, we'll assume he's running. What's your case for the speed here? Because, as I said, unusually for a George Ryder, there's a nice big field about it.
Well, it is a big field, and we've got to have the baseline being minimum, I feel, plus two or three has got to be the low, right?
As far as the speed?
Yeah, yep. Plus two or three on the low, plus six to eight's possible. Yeah. I love that. This is going to be high pressure. It has to be, Ralphie. Well, what does that do, of course, and who does that help? I'm just sitting back here saying, well, think about it. Well, there's not much we can do about that, Ralphie. This is all that's going to do is distort the market if it doesn't run, right?
Yeah.
I hope they do run, but at the same time, if the horse is genuinely not right, then they shouldn't run, right? They should. So yeah, we'll just
wait. Right thing, Joe Pride, yep.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of other races to think about. This, it's not the end of its life, right? Saying this is your last race forever.
Yeah.
So, of course, I understand you have to, you know, be there for the big prize money, but there's got to be other races, right, in the future as well. So if it isn't right, I get it. But hopefully the horse is right and it's going to allow for, you know, a fantastic contest, because the way I see it, I looked at it from two lenses. The hardcore lens and saying, okay, peel everything apart. And I do like it when I find myself in a place there's only three chances. I love it. So that's how I like to operate, right?
Yep.
I hate it when I have a hardcore look and I say, but no, there's six or seven. Because then I already know, don't be an idiot, Cardi. This is not a place where you go throw your money around, because you're not that good of trying to separate, you know, six or seven serious chances, and then you've got to bring in the chaos theory of 25%. You're in no man's land, right? So if I look at the other lens, there is a possibility I could sit back and say, oh, well, there is six or seven chances. Okay. But if I'm going down to the hardcore, firstly, militarize, think about it. They're the best two horses in the race. So if Think About It's out, that just seriously increases the chances of militarize. The big up-and-comer for me is Pericles. That's the big up-and-comer for me. And then the rest, they're all locked together, and we can throw the dartboard around. Today you might run three, tomorrow you might run two, but it ain't going to be enough. It ain't going to be enough. They're going to need a lot of luck in their favour, and they're going to be praying that J-Max completely gets it all wrong and Think About It doesn't start. And Hugh Bowman's forgotten how to ride at Sydney.
There's a few dynamics there, isn't there? So no doubt he was set to win the Randwick Guineas. They won the Golden Rose. That was such a serious performance. It was clearly the best three-year-old race of last spring. You know, he got Cylinder as well. That's now won a Newmarket, and et cetera, et cetera. So he was fantastic. Gets out-bobbed by a very nice horse in Celestial Legend. Surely, if he improves out of that, he can't miss top three, can he?
Well, let's look at it, right? First up, 6.4 lengths below benchmark first section, which is ideal for 1,400, right, Ralphie?
Yep.
And then beautiful extension in the mid-race without overreaching. The mid-race squeeze was 9 lengths, well, 1.5 seconds, 2.6 above, which is beautiful balance. Overall, last 400 was plus 2.1. We got a little bit of a taper. There was a little bit of a dip between the 4 and the 2 of a length. Everything giving a clear signal, this horse is going to project upwards. But what happens is this. You then turn up and you go 9.5 lengths faster with 200 metres more distance, and then you must maintain that pressure and still cop a dip between the 4 and the 2. It all makes it very, very tough, Ralphie, for you to win under that circumstance. All that does for you, it rounds you off and hardens you up, right, for battle, for tomorrow. So this is the type of ingredient you need to be battle ready. It's that you have trials, they're never the same as a race fitness. Race fitness is what it's all about, and you have to be ready for fast or slow pace. So I feel this horse is ready for that. Fast or slow, it's there. Okay, track conditions. Could that be the nemesis? Possibly, could be. What's J-Mac going to do? I just feel, Ralphie, again.
Third line stalk.
Yeah, this is what's going to happen. And he's going to have a lot of options in the home straight. And then, of course, if the horse's not good enough for whatever reason, then the horse will never be good enough, right? it's never going to – this horse, we have not got a ceiling on this horse. He meets the qualifying criteria. He does have a 3.8. Even on the race matrix, he's already a lock in at round 2.7, right? And we're looking for 2.5 above.
Very, very nice setup. Just quickly, why have you made a case for Pericles?
Well, when I look at this horse here – again, firstly, I feel this horse has had the right number of races now to come to its top. And then you just look at the weave, the pattern here. First up, 0.7 below benchmark. I look at what happened in the race. It went 1.7 below benchmark through the first section. Nice, comfortable move in the mid-race, 4.4 above. Then we had a weakening, all conditioning. Stayed at 1,400 metres. Not an easy thing to do, actually. Increased its pace by about a length and a half. Actually maintained that score line in the mid-race, going around 4, 4.5 above. And then still had a taper. Like, the horse had a really savage taper towards the last 200 to 400 metres. And then I just couldn't believe it. They went back in distance, right, which is a no-no, right, unless you've got a different plan, right? And then I go to myself, they use that as a barrier trial. 3.7 lengths below benchmark. Of course it wasn't going to have the speed, right?
Yep.
Then had a massive move in the mid-race, like 9 lengths was the mid-race squeeze, the best it's done out of the three runs, or 5.2 above between the 8 and the 4, and much stronger over the last 400 metres, going 0.6 above. This horse is screaming for distance, and it has to have a minimum of a mile. And I sit back and say, Rose Hill 1500 last campaign, you produced 2.6 above, super last 400 with a slowdown, again, inefficient with its energy. And the race matrix picked that up, saying that race strength was around 3.4. And I go, beautiful, beautiful. Because I felt that this horse was a genuine horse that could improve into the 3-4 range. And hallelujah, here we are.
All right, we've got some horses that you're keen on and some horses at value that are well worth looking at. Just 60 seconds on the other two stakes races here. Race two in the program, the Stayers race. I had to look this up. Vince, William Haggis has had 15 Australian Sydney runners for 8 winners. And this is the only horse he's bringing over, post-impressionist. So how does he line up for you?
Well, the crazy thing is this. Maybe if those other two international horses were in this race,
yep,
you'd probably have them on top, right?
Yep.
Most likely. But this is perfect. This horse has got a rock-solid score line of benchmark, right?
Yep.
With no doubt, particularly from that stable, you can just imagine there's more to come, right?
Yep.
He doesn't come here for nothing. And goodness me, what do you need to win benchmark? And the horse at the top of the tree, which is number 5, Alamina,
yep,
0.2 above. So could you have picked it any better? Could you have picked it any better? Which race you should target first?
Perfect. And the opponent, well, Vince, I rate up Osmos first up for Sizzlers, and looks like it's getting the perfect race. And since you sent out your early edition report, Fox and Cleopatra is not in the race.
Oh, not in the race?
Not in the race.
Okay, well, this is another race where we're looking at benchmark. Now, it's a big field, right?
Yep.
That can create a lot of havoc. But see, I love Tim Clark on these type of horses. Love him. Just yep. Feel that he's got the glove, you know, perfectly lined up here. He's in a stalking position, good pace, but how serious the death? Virtually no horses can break benchmark in this race other than a couple, and Osmosis is one of them.
Beautiful. All right, that concludes our hour. Of course, we'll talk business tomorrow. We'll have some clarity on some track conditions and think about it, and et cetera. But in the meantime, hope you enjoyed the insight, and we really appreciate you being a customer of Year Round Carnival.